day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No banners, no banners, no banners, no dancing girls, no drama, no pageants, no cantatas, but the word of grace. But the word of grace. The word of grace, not by power, not by man's power, not by man's might, but by my Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. That's how things are to be done in the earth in order to see the glory fall. Not by man's plans, not by carnal plans, not by building programs. Oh, no, no, no. Not by dancing women in the sanctuary. No, 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 says the Spirit of God. But by the Word. By the Word. All things are upheld by the Word of His power and by the Word of His grace. Do you hear that? Yes. Hallelujah. Son of man, do you hear the voice of the Shepherd? For all things are upheld by my Word. And by the word of my power, and by the word of my grace. So make much of the word. Make much of the word, says the Spirit of God. Continue to make much of the glory. Continue to build on the word. For it is my word and my word only that I will confirm with signs, with wonders, and miracles. But only as you study. Only as you press in, only as you apply yourselves to the word of grace, will I confirm that word with the supernatural. For have I not said in my word that I confirm the preaching and the teaching of my disciples, the preaching and teaching of my word with signs, wonders, and miracles? Yes, you have said that, Lord, and we are committed to doing things your way, Father, and to being led by your Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus, and to not do things that grieve the pastor. Don't do things that disrupt the pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't do things to defy the pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't question the way the pastor does things so biblically, or so strict, as some have falsely accused. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. And only the Word will God confirm with signs, wonders, and miracles. He will not confirm drama. He will not confirm dance. He will not confirm banners and pageants and plays and cantatas. He will confirm the Word. He will confirm the Word. So we will build on the Word. We will build on the Word. We will show reverence to your Word, Father. We will give first place in our lives to the Word, Father. First place, God. Your Word first, just like the early church, Father. For you have said through your prophet Hosea and Haggai and Zechariah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and so many, Father, of the patriarchs, you said that you would send the former and the latter rain combined when we do things the way they did it in the book of Acts, Father. The blueprint for your church in the modern age, Father. In the book of Acts, Father, the early church built on the Word, so we will build on the Word in Jesus' name. And we'll not be offended when the pastor says this sin has to go. This one cannot stay until they change. This one must be removed until they make a decision to stop grieving God and living a double lifestyle. Oh, we'll not question the pastor's authority as long as it's in line with the Word. As long as it's being led by the Spirit of God. Father, 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 oh, Father, oh, Father, 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 bere de se kipete, oh, Father, 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 oh, moniki se kiperoto sakapare deste. Father, I'll now do what you told me to do at 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday from John chapter 2 in our Bibles, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we want to see the miraculous like they saw in the United States in the 1940s and in the 1950s, we're going to have to obey His Word. We're going to have to obey His Word. We're going to have to be sensitive to His Spirit. We're going to have to be sensitive to the pastor. We're going to have to not do things unless the pastor asks us to do things. We're going to have to be quiet when we come in, when prayer's going on. And we're going to have to not do disruptive things that grieve the Spirit of God, for it's not business as usual on Cape Cod anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, help them to understand, God. Father, give them the understanding at least that you've given me, Father. At least the understanding, Father, how easily your Spirit is grieved. How easily your Spirit flies away like a dove when we come in here and prayer's going on and we do carnal things and then we build up the anointing and carnal things occur and the Spirit of God is grieved and we got to start all over again. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we want your power. We want your grace. We want to do things like the book of Acts. We want to receive like the book of Acts, Father. So help us, God. Help us to be more in tune with your Spirit, Father. Help us to be more in tune with your Spirit. Father, give revelation of how the littlest things don't annoy the pastor, but grieve the Spirit. People have said, oh, you're just annoyed. No, the Spirit of God within me is grieved. I would know. I live my life in His presence. I spend time to recognize His presence. I spend time in prayer and hours and meditating on His Word to keep my spirit sensitive to His Spirit. And I know when the littlest thing is grieving Him. Oh, God, give them revelation. Help them to understand, Father. I'm not too disciplined, Father. I'm not strict, Father. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word, Father. Oh, barege se ki peto samando ko se ki peredege. Want to see more glory? He's pulling us in line. Hallelujah. Everyone in this room can give more. Can give more. I'm not talking finances. I'm not talking finances. Everyone in this room, including the pastor, can give more of their lives, more of themselves to God. If we want God to give more of Himself to us, we absolutely must give more of ourselves to Him. Oh, we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision. This just isn't like anywhere we went to church before. It's not like where we went to church before. Everything's different. Everything's different. From the time we step in that door, every single thing is different. Not better, different. More in line with the Word. More in line, as we're seeing, with the book of Acts. If we want to see the former and the latter glory combined, we're going to have to pull ourselves in line, like the early church pulled themselves in line. They tolerated no sin, no compromise, no disturbance, no distraction. Oh, brango se pirete se ki peroto sa kaparadeste. At 3 o'clock in the morning, on Friday morning, I was laying in bed praying in tongues, as I oftentimes do. For I pray in tongues a lot. My wife does as well. And the Holy Spirit, are you there in John chapter 2? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm not trying to make people like me. I'm not trying to make people hate me. I'm obeying God. Amen? And if people are going to like me, if they're going to hate me, they're going to like me and they're going to hate me. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to obey the Spirit of God. No one's in trouble. No one's getting lectured, but we can tighten up. Hallelujah. He's taught us on the glory. That's the first step to into the glory, is to teach on the glory. The first step into the glory is teaching, and He's been teaching us about the glory, even as He's taught me about the glory over the past 20 years, and now I'm teaching you. And I know what it takes to see the glory come into manifestation, for I have been in manifestations of God's glory. I've paid the price for the manifestation of God's glory. I know that it's real. I know that it exists. I know that He desires to pour it out in our midst. But it takes discipline. It takes discipline. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay for the glory. And the price is discipline. The price is faithfulness, 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 faithfulness. Go borogo se ki perende, angandoso kambaradesha de kiste. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I was praying in the Spirit, so I'm in a different place right now. Hallelujah. You're going to have to make up your mind to not be offended, to not be offended. to not be offended. Go beringe desha tege beradasto kumbarusha take a paramesa tege ambarando se ki ferre de kishado ke peregeste. The Bible says, you're there in John 2, and I ask you to please stay there while I read to you. This just came into my heart in John chapter 6 and verse 66. It says, from that time, many of Jesus' disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said to the 12, you're going to go too? You're going to leave now too? Everybody else is offended and they're gone. And he said to his true disciples, you're going to leave now too? And Simon Peter answered the Lord and he said, where are we going to go? You're the one with the words of eternal life. He said, where are we going to go? We've been everywhere else. There's nothing but you, Jesus. But can you imagine walking with Jesus and watching those miracles and listening to that teaching and just, I ain't committing to this end. He's too strict. He's too tough. He's too strong on the word. You think I'm strict and tough and disciplined and strong on the word? Wait till you meet my big brother Jesus. I am not tough and strict. Amen. I'm disciplined. That build on, but this is the word. This is the word. If you want God, this is how you get God. If you want the power, this is where the power is at. Amen. So I'm laying in bed, minding my own business, praying in other tongues, and the Holy Spirit of God said to me, you show them on Sunday morning how Jesus opened and closed his ministry. I knew just what he was talking about. I said, yes, sir, I'll do that. 3 o'clock in the morning. Saturday morning again. I don't know, 4:30. The Holy Spirit rises up in my spirit. I'm laying there praying in tongues. Don't forget to show them on Sunday morning how Jesus opened and closed his ministry. Yes, sir, I'm on it. Like white on rice. I'm on it. I'll do it, Lord. So I'm going to show you. Right here in John chapter 2. This is a word from the Spirit of God just for you, whatever His purposes are. Amen? See, this isn't something I figured out with my head. This is instruction of the Holy Ghost in the middle of the night while the pastor's laying in bed praying in other tongues. Look at right here. He said, point this out to them. John chapter 2. Pick it up if you would. Verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Now before we go any further, I need to tell you something here. The money changers, these people were in town for the Passover. They came from areas all outside of Jerusalem and even out of Israel. And many of them came with foreign coins to purchase sacrifices to the Lord. And many of the foreign coins had idols' images on them. And in the book of Leviticus, God forbade Israel to purchase sacrifices with foreign coins that had idol images on them. It's dirty money. It's blood money. So they had to go to the money changer and change it for Hebrew money. And the Hebrew changers the money changers were charging them, were making a tremendous profit. So, changing something that should have been exchanged for a half shekel for 6 shekels. And they were getting wealthy on it, getting rich on it, making a fortune off these Jewish people exchanging coins to purchase offerings with money, Hebrew money, that didn't have idol images. So that's what the money changers were doing. They were ripping off these Jewish people sitting in the temple of God, an outer sanctuary, an outer courtyard, doing this. Josephus, the historian of that day, said, during Passover, when Jesus was in the earth, in the temple, they would offer over 250,000 animals in that temple, over a 10-day period. It's like 25,000 animals being sacrificed a day. You can imagine how busy it is in that place, and how much money's changing hands. And they're all in there ripping these people off. And Jesus had enough of the sin in his Father's house. This is how we open. This is John chapter 2. He had just over there in Matthew 3 been baptized with the Holy Ghost. This is the very beginning of his public ministry. So one of the first things he did, he went and he changed water into unfermented wine at the wedding feast at Cana. turned around, went into the temple, made a whip, and drove the deadbeats out. Are you there now? You get the history? Amen? Hallelujah. He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen. You can imagine what a job this is for one man. 25,000 animals being offered a day and all the people it took to coordinate it. And here comes little Jesus driving them all out single-handedly. Hoo-hoo! You think you've had to sit through trouble in my services? And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, get them out, and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. I want you to know, I will never merchandise my anointing just so people will keep on paying tithes. I'm going to obey God. If they're going to pay tithes, they're going to pay tithes. If they're not, they're not. But I'm going to obey God. This is how Jesus opened his ministry. He walked into the temple and he drove out all the anointing merchandisers, all the racketeers, all the profiteers, all the liars, all the fornicators, all the money changers, all the thieves. He drove them out with a whip. Don't sound like no mamby-pamby Jesus to me. That was a huge job that could only be done by the power of the Holy Ghost on that man's life. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. I want to see God move on Cape Cod. That's what I'm here for. Or I'd have been gone, how long have we been here, 18 months? I'd have been gone 17 months and 3 weeks ago. Amen? Because I learned the first week we came here, this ain't going to be what you thought it was going to be. Amen? But it's going to be what God has planned. Amen? So this is how we opened his ministry. By driving these spiritual deadbeats out of his Father's house. Hallelujah. You know that it's common for those who resist the Holy Bible and the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit to be run away or driven off when the Word of God is properly preached. It's common. It's not unusual. It's quite biblical. Now, this is how we opened his ministry. Would you like to see how he closed it? Anybody interested? Yeah. Let's go to the last week of his life over here in Matthew chapter 21. I knew just what the Holy Ghost was telling me. On Friday at 3 a.m. and Saturday at 4:30 a.m., whatever time it was. I'm just guessing on those times. Amen? Look over here at Matthew. Anybody in this room know that Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple more than one time? It didn't just happen once. What we just read in John chapter 2 was the very first week of his ministry. The very first thing he did, the very first week of his public ministry, cleaned out the temple. The last thing he did, the last week of his ministry. Here's Jesus 1 week before he dies in Matthew chapter 21. Pick it up in verse 12. Say amen if you're there. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. This is 3.5 years later. This is not the same incident. You go back and read this in context, you realize we're looking at the last week of Jesus' life. He opened his ministry by driving the money changers out of the temple. He closed his ministry by doing it again a week before he died. You think he's trying to make a point here? He bookended his ministry getting the deadbeats out of the Father's house. Most people read these accounts and they think they're all the same. They're not. Most people think Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple one time. He didn't. And he didn't do it two times either, as we're going to see. Here he is a week before he goes to the cross. He went into the temple, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the temples and the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. This was a tremendous effort on the part of one human being. Only the Spirit of God could enable him to do this. These folks are running from this man. And he said unto them, It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. You've made it a den of thieves. Let's keep reading. The blind and the lame came in the temple and he healed them. After he ran those people out. And the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did. And the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they were sore displeased, the religious leaders, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? The babies knew enough to praise him. The religious leaders didn't. This is the last week of Jesus' life, of his life and his ministry. The very first week of his public 3.5 year ministry, he threw the money changers out of the temple forcefully. Out you go, you pixies! He literally drove them and all the... He cleaned the place out single-handedly by the anointing of God. You can be sure, with all the trash that was going on in that temple during the public ministry of Jesus, there was no glory filling that temple like in Solomon's day. Remember how we read in 2 Chronicles 5 and verses 12 and 13 when Solomon's temple was completed, the day that they dedicated it to God, the glory moved in with such force and with such power that people began to fall. The ministers couldn't stand to minister. And you can know that people were healed and set free of afflictions and demon oppression and whatever else they had need to be rid of. It happened in that day in Solomon's temple, but it wasn't happening in the temple in Jesus' day. Amen? Because the leadership needed to get the junk out, and they were unwilling to do it, so Jesus did it himself. And then he closed. The last week of his ministry, he went right back in there because they blew him off and just kept showing up in there with all that sin. He turned around before he left the earth, and he did it again. He drove them all out. And the Lord said to me on Friday at 3 a.m. and Saturday at 4:30 a.m., you go in there and you show them how Jesus opened and closed his ministry. I didn't even say, okay, Lord, why? I just said, yes, sir, I know what you want me to do, and I'll do it. Now go to Mark's Gospel, if you would. We're going to look at something Jesus did 2 days before he died. Now, we've seen what he did the first week of his ministry. We saw what he did a week before he died. He did it again in Mark's Gospel, in Mark chapter 11. Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple 3 times. He drove those heathen racketeers, profiteers out of there 3 times, twice in the last week of his life. Think he's trying to say something? I know what he's saying to me when I read that. Never, never merchandise your anointing. Never offer it for sale. You couldn't give me a jet and $10 million in the bank account to get me to do what you want me to do and stop doing what God wants me to do. I'll take my jet and my millions from my Father, if that's what He's ordained for me. Amen? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying what I see in this. For me personally as a minister, never merchandise the anointing. Never, never, never stop preaching the Word of God because people are offended because they're living in secret sin and they run and everybody comes and says, Pastor, if you keep correcting people in their sin, we're never going to have a church. That's what folks have told me. You got to stop correcting sin from the pulpit. No, I don't. I got to keep correcting it in the pulpit. Amen. I don't call people's names in the pulpit. Amen. If somebody needs to be dealt with directly, I go to them and I let them know what I see or what I hear or what the Holy Ghost is telling me. But then there's times in the sanctuary that the Holy Spirit just shows me supernaturally. Oftentimes he doesn't even tell me who it is. He just tells me what it is, and to tell him it's got to stop. Are we studying the glory? Do we want to see the glory in manifestation on Cape Cod? You know, sin has got to go out of the churches in the Cape. And listen, I don't know everything about every church. There's some good churches on Cape Cod, I'm sure. I've been trying to communicate with some of the pastors here. Finally, after a year and a half, I get one response. I don't know what's going on in all the churches, but I know some of the churches are glutted with sin. And they're merchandising the anointing. And they're doing things for profit. And they're coming up with scheming plans to keep the church going because God's folding the thing in on itself because He never told some of them to do it. And they keep coming up with harebrained carnal schemes to make the thing keep on running. We're never going to do that. Amen? The Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who try to build it. Amen? We're going to let God build this house. Amen? Can you believe someone actually called me on the phone and they said, Pastor, if you keep correcting people's sin, we're never going to have a church. I said, Brother, that's ignorance gone to seed. If I don't correct it, and as I have stated previously, this place is glutted with sin in the church. That's all over the place. America's in the mess she's in today because sin, not only in the world, but it's in the church. We've become the dirty church. Amen? Hallelujah. We've become the dirty, ugly church. Nobody wants to come to church. Miracles will bring them, though. Miracles will bring them. Miracles are the dinner bell to salvation. Everybody wants to know the God. Will the real God of the universe please stand up? Everybody wants to serve a God who'll perform miracles because they're hoping He'll perform them for me. And there's one way we're going to see God perform miracles in our midst, and that's to get the sin out. I'm not saying you can't make mistakes. I'm talking about people who live in blatant sin. They know they need to repent. They don't bother. And they're showing up in churches, a lot of them, all over the place. Hey, I didn't wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell me to do this on Friday and again on Saturday. This is how the Lord showed me to conduct the service this morning. Amen? Jesus opened His ministry and Jesus closed His ministry with these two bookended events, driving the sin out of the temple. Anybody in here remember that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, what? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you have been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are not your own. Hallelujah. Nobody's in trouble in here. Amen? I'm just the shepherd telling the sheep, there's holes in the fences, and if you go through them, you're going to get in trouble. We've got to stay away from the fence. You got to stay away from not only the holes in the fence, we got to just stay clear of the fence, stay in the yard, stay in the paddock, stay under the shepherd's care, amen, stay with the Word, stay with God, stay in prayer. We're going to see God move. Is anybody okay with this morning? Anybody having a problem with this morning? Amen? We're not going to be part of the dirty church. Hallelujah. I think I'm getting it across after 18 months. I think we're getting it across. Amen. Listen, I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Listen, we're all entitled to make mistakes. But we've got to get them under the blood when we do. We can't live in sin. Amen. As I said a moment ago, it's common for those who resist the Holy Bible and those who resist the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit to run away or to be driven off, and it appears like the place is just shrinking. We're going under, we're going under, we're going under. But we're not shrinking. We will grow explosively if we just keep doing things the way we're doing them. We will. We're not going under. It just appears that. It's common, amen? Before great increase comes, it appears that we're shrinking. But we're not shrinking, amen? We're going to read in Mark right now. Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. And then we'll make the point. Amen? Here we are, 2 days before Jesus laying down His life for the sins of the world. Amen? In Mark chapter 11, let's pick it up right over here in verse 15. Okay? Hallelujah. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. He had just been in here 5 days ago, and was in there 3.5 years ago, for the first time He did this. And He began, we could say again, to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And He would not suffer or allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Drove them all out, held them all out by the power of God. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, it looked like, Jesus, what are you doing? You're upsetting everybody. You're upsetting everybody's religious apple cart. Can't you just keep the peace? We'll do the sacrifices. We'll make a little chump change on the side. Everybody's happy, Jesus. We're okay. Look at all the people showing up in the temple. Look at all the people who show up at Passover. Jesus, don't do this. They might not come back next year. He didn't care about any of that. Because he knew something they didn't know. It's common. When God, you know, judgment begins in the house of God. How many times have we heard that? Do we really believe it? It begins in the house of God. He was cleansing his father's house, which was a stone temple at the time, because he hadn't died yet to make us the temple of God. He was cleansing it symbolically, saying, I won't tolerate it in the stone house, and I won't tolerate it in the flesh house that's a-coming. And it looked like he's just spoiling everything, sending everybody home bummed out and not going to go back there next year. It looked like church was shrinking. But Jesus knew, 50 days later, after the last time he cleared the temple of sin, he knew that 50 days later, he was going to raise from the dead. Miracles were going to occur. Peter was going to stand up, and the church was going to experience phenomenal growth. In 2 days' time, Peter preached 2 sermons. 8,000 people came to Jesus. Just 50 days after everybody was probably saying, Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're driving people off. You're causing, we want to grow. If you keep correcting them in the sin, we're never going to have a church. He's getting the sin out of his father's house. Amen? He's getting the sin out of this house. He woke me up at 5. He didn't wake me up. I was awake praying. And he said to me, show them how Jesus opened and closed his ministry. Next morning, around 4:30, I'm guessing, he reminded me, said the same thing. So I'm doing it. Amen? We're doing good not allowing sin around here. And it's common when you preach the way that I preach. I'm not the only one in the world who preaches like this. You know the revival that's coming into the church is coming to the local church? It's going to be local church pastors this time. No more God's man of the hour. No more T.L. Osborne's. No more R.W. Shambach's. No more D.L. Moody's. I'm not putting any of them down. All have done great works for God. But this coming move of God, which I believe is the last or the next to the last move of God that will come into this earth, is coming through the local church. The local church and the local pastor. That's how it happened in the book of Acts. If we're going to see the latter and the former reign combined, it's going to have to be through the local church because that's how it was in the book of Acts. This church is going to be ready. Amen? If it just gets down to us four and no more. God's going to move through this church. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we're going to do things God's way. Not with cute little chicks and leotards waving banners. Who are people looking at, by the way, when you're doing that? Are they looking at Jesus? Probably not. One minister said they're looking at cheeks. In the tight leotards. That's flesh. That's carnal. That's not come. Don't be offended by that. I just quoted somebody. A prophet of God said that. Who are people looking at when that's going on? Amen? Listen, drama is okay out in the street as an evangelistic tool, but there's no place for it in the sanctuary. Cantatas and plays aren't going to bring miracles. Praise, coming together like the book of Acts, together praying as a body. Praying and praising and praying the prayer of unity together is going to cause God to move in our midst, just like in the book of Acts. Amen? Did we read the third account, by the way? Did we get the job done? Because that's basically all he told me to do, was read it and show you how Jesus opened and closed his ministry. And in the natural, it looked like the dumbest thing you could do. Everything's going okay. What do you want to upset the natural order of things for, Jesus? You know, everything's fine here. Everything's going fine here. Jesus said it isn't fine. He said, my house, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. And we are to be little houses of prayer. We're all individual temples of the Holy Ghost, lively stones, Peter called us, all making up one spiritual house. We're all. That's why the Lord said to me in here this morning, do nothing but praise me right now. Nothing but praise me right now. And I'm going to tell you, there's no reason in the world that people in this room who didn't praise God shouldn't have been praising God. You grieve the Spirit of God when God says, do nothing but praise me, and we're fully capable of praising Him, and some of us decide, I'm just not going to do it. This is the kind of teaching that's always going to come out of this pulpit. Amen? If you like it, praise the Lord. Put your seatbelt on. There's going to be more. Amen? If you don't like it, change. And don't miss it. Amen?